Welcome back to Public Address Radio on Radio Live.
Who remembers when you were a kid in the summer, and the summer holidays hut, the first day off school, your mammy woke up and went, "Get out of the house! It's 8 a.m. The sun's splitting the trees!" I'm like, "Yeah, and then I'll burn and die." And I mean, who here in the 60s could afford Factor 25 suntan cream? We would have eaten that, do you know what I'm saying?
When I read our next guest's biography while researching this interview, my first thought was, where's the punchline? A survivor of sexual abuse for most of her childhood, marrying into a notorious Glaswegian gang family, to a husband with Asperger's syndrome, a heroin-addicted HIV-positive brother, it's perhaps not the usual background for a successful international comedian, but that's exactly what Janie Godley is, and she joins us now. Janie, wow. Where is the comedy?
Oh, there's loads of comedy. And my brother especially, who's HIV, and he's a methadone addict as well. And he just recently survived non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And after all that, he called me up and he went, "I'm quite worried about swine flu." I'm like, "Seriously, Jim, we're going to have to kill you with a brick." You know what I mean? Nothing's going to kill you. So there is irony and humour and tragedy, you know.
I suppose, I mean, you know, growing up in such sort of, I suppose, harsh circumstances, difficult circumstances, is it, you know, humour is something that just comes out of it, a form of defence or something like that?
I think it's definitely a form of processing it into something else, you know. A lot of people who have had sex abuse in the past and who have had really difficult lives, a lot of people, the majority of people, go on to have either alcohol or be problems or be promiscuous or self-harm, or, you know, there's always the road that you all go on to. And it's because they don't know, it's just because they don't know how to deal with it, maybe, you know. So I dealt with it by speaking about it.
You could argue that standing up in front of 500 people every night and bearing your soul and telling jokes is a form of self-harm.
Yeah,
if it doesn't go well.
I know, it always goes well, so it's a form of good therapy. So, no, it's neither therapy nor harm. It just is what it is. It's comedy. And I teach women who have had problems in their life, and I teach kids who've been abused. I teach them stand-up back in Glasgow, and it's amazing the amount of confidence it gives them, because humour can deflect so much pain and anger and stuff. And I saw a psychologist once, and they said to me, "You know, you don't drink, you don't do drugs, you're not promiscuous, you don't self-harm, blah blah blah." And he said to me, "I think that one day you're just going to explode." And I thought, well, I hope it's in front of you, smug, muggy. And so now I'm living in fear that I might just explode. Because I've never suffered from depression. I'm really lucky, really lucky. Because I've never had depression, or I've never had flashbacks. I don't have a problem with sex. I don't have any real issues from the direct abuse. So everybody thinks it's like a secret sleeping time bomb's going to happen.
Well, and you know, on top of all that, your husband is Asperger's. Both my sons are, and I know there's humour in that.
Mm. Yeah, of course you do, because, excuse me, because they think literally, not laterally, you know. And if you said to your sons, don't put the cooker on, that'll be the worst thing you could do. And they would probably say, no, the worst thing we could do is completely set fire to the house and kill you.
Yeah.
Because technically they are right.
Technically, quite correct.
That's right. Technically, they're always right. And my husband's got that, and it's so irritating. And only I could be married for 30 years, and it turns out he's not just a difficult man. He has a syndrome.
Mm. So how did you meet him? Because I assume he didn't have these social skills to
Yeah, no, it's bizarre. He was
put
16.
The moves on you.
I know. We were kids. Jesus Christ. We were kids. I mean, we get married at 11 in the morning, and we went out on our bikes at lunchtime. That's how young we were when we get married. We did. We went out to play on our bikes. That's just wrong.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 18. He was 17. And we had been living together since he was 16. So I was pretty different in a sense that I was really, really interested in other things. And I was very well read for a scuzzy, schemey kid, you know. And he just seemed such a quirky character. I didn't know his quirkiness was a mental illness, but, you know, you learn.
You take what you can get, do you?
Yes, you do. So do you sort of function as a social manager? Do you, you know,
sometimes,
help him through social
sometimes
situations?
Sometimes I do.
I've heard some of your comedy. I mean, you're not really one to be lecturing people on what's appropriate to say in a public space, are you? I was lucky enough to go along to the 5-star comedy preview. Now, if I remember rightly, you were talking about having sex with your husband and all manner of difficult positions kitchens and
yes,
things like this.
Yes, because my daughter was in the house, you know, and they grow up and they don't leave and you try to have quiet sex in the house. Yeah, well, that's not appropriate. It's funny. You're married. It's very appropriate.
Now, you've written a book as well. Tell us about that.
My autobiography, Handstands in the Dark. It was weird. I didn't think that it would have been, anybody would have read it. Ashley, my daughter, says it's really annoying because she can now never tell guys that mummy and daddy run ponies in Guildford, you know, and she just left university 2 days ago.
Yeah.
So I'm really proud of her. And she's just writing a 6-part drama for the BBC. So Ashley is a complete testimony to the whole book because you see what a crap life I have. And then you see the daughter that we produced.
It's extraordinary. I presume you didn't go to the university.
I left school at 16.
Yeah, she's really tall and beautiful and she can speak 6 languages. And I know how that happened. I'll tell you how it happened. I played that game you should never play in the maternity ward. You know that game? Swap the baby. Guess which one is yours? Yeah. Mine's was a wee angry Glaswegian baby. Like, I'm going to scream for 3 years. And the other one was pretty. So I said to this lady, oh, look, there's a pigeon.
So how did you do? Were you someone who could just write?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I used to write stories in school, and I was very good at writing stories. And the teacher would say to me, "You've got a really good imagination, and you should use it more, and you should write more." But we were really poor in our city, kids. You know, we never had a chance from the get go. You know, the only person that made it out of my school was Craig Armstrong, who went on to produce music with Madonna and made the music for Moulin Rouge, and he was at my school. But he was for the nice houses on the other end of the street.
So do you still live in Glasgow?
Yeah, I live in Glasgow and London.
Not in the schemey part of Glasgow.
No, I live in the West End now, where couscous is a staple thing. I thought couscous was a disease you got.
Now, look, you're out here for the New Zealand International Comedy Festival. I know that you've done some preview stuff already. And tell us about your show.
It's just called Domestic Godly. And it's just basically, my mum was murdered when she was 47. And I've reached 48, so I've outlived her, and it's a kind of reflection on what did she teach me and what did she not teach me, and funny stories about how being a mother and being a wife, and lots of other stories I make up at the time because I'm not very good at sticking to the one show.
Is it a particularly Scottish sort of humour, do you think?
No, because I used to think that, and that's a good point, that this is very just sort of Scottish, stoical sense of identity. But when you stand in LA and tell something funny and everybody laughs, and the same in New Zealand and London and Berlin and Holland and Barcelona, it works.
Do someone like LA, do they have trouble with your accent?
No, not really, because I slow down and I speak as clear as possible. They would if I spoke like Susan Boyle. Do you know what I mean?
I think they subtitled her on TV the other day, which I always find quite
But she
funny.
Is from a very small village where everybody is called Boyle, but
really?
No relation. Yeah.
Wow.
Do you think that on the other hand that having a Scottish accent or an Irish accent actually makes you funnier by definition when you're a comedian?
I think it sounds funnier coming out of my mouth. There is words that sound funnier, like Geordie accent sounds funny when they say the word monkey, and that's why Johnny Vegas and Ross Noble continually say the word monkey, because it sounds funny in a Geordie accent. And there are words that sound funny in my accent.
I can think of one that starts with F, that sounds hilarious in Scottish, you know.
But is it French?
No, the one I can't say on the radio, obviously.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah, but we say that just as a term of endearment constantly. Yeah.
Yes, bastard is used in the same way here.
Yeah.
Very much as a term of endearment.
Yeah.
Excellent. Look, thank you very much for coming in. It's been fascinating talking to you, and we hope the show goes well. The show runs until the
end of the 23rd of May, I think, all the way through for the next 2 weeks, and it's Saturdays, it's, you know, ends on a Saturday. Near the end of May, I'm not very bright. And I'm on for another week, I think I've got, yeah.
Excellent. All the details there, comedyfestival.co.nz. Jenny Godley, thank you very much for your time.
And I've got a website, it's jennygodley.co.uk,
and there's even a blog on it.
The blog is great. I miss my blog. I have to go write it now.
On the plane we got here, and as soon as we landed, that crazy woman with the fruit dog, she's got that dog, and she's gone, "Do you have fruit?" I'm like, "No." "Don't you have fruit here?" "Do you have fruit?" "Like, no, I'm a Glaswegian. I could get my hands in heroin before I could find a pineapple." "Just leave me alone."
Right, that's all we've got time for this week. Thanks very much for listening. If there's something you missed or you'd like to hear again, publicaddress.net/radio. I've been Damien Christie.
And I've been Russell Brown. Thank you. New Zealand On Air.